after him openly on the cross. And we have something to remember, that cross that Jesus died for us on. And, you know, that's freedom, folks. No matter if you're in a prison, no matter if you're in a country that lets you do whatever you want, no matter if you're in a country that restricts you in whatever way, you can have freedom in Jesus Christ because of the battle that he fought. And that's true freedom. Let me see how I do this here. And, you know, as we go through this life, we're in a battle. If you're saved, you're fighting a battle daily. And it's basically just to try and keep the Word of God. I mean, there's so many different forces at play to get rid of the Word of God, that to make it of none effect, which we're gonna see a little bit here today. But my ADD must be leaving me because I can't do two things at once anymore. Okay, so we're in Matthew chapter 16. But we can remember Paul, we can remember Timothy. There's all these people in the Bible we can remember. There's a memory of these people that fought a good fight of faith. Isn't that something? And not only that, I mean, we do have the people that fought in this country and everything, but let's not forget the people that are fighting the fight of faith, right? We can remember them every day. So it's chapter 16. Okay, so last week, we're going to go ahead and pray real quick, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the men and women that served in this country, Lord, and I'm sure people are thanking them for every country that they served in today. But Father, we thank you for what you did for us, and what a great thing, Lord. You offer true freedom, and it's free, and all we have to do is believe. And we thank you for that, and we pray, Lord, that you just open our hearts and our eyes as we go through your words today, and help us to just believe them and to understand what you want us to understand. For Christ's sake, amen. Okay, last week we got through Matthew chapter 15, finally, and we went into Matthew chapter 16. And we saw in Matthew chapter 16 how verse 1, how two opposing groups that really don't have anything in common with each other will get together to destroy good. All right? Pharisees and Sadducees, they have nothing in common with each other. We saw that last week. But they had the only thing they did have in common is they hated Jesus Christ, and they wanted to destroy him. And so they got together on that one little thing. They don't believe anything else, right? They oppose each other in other things and beliefs. But when it comes to getting rid of somebody good, they'll get together. And that's like that in this day today, folks. Bible believers, people just want to go after them and discredit them and do whatever they can to destroy their ministries. And we just got to be aware that that's out here. And why did they want to destroy Jesus, these Pharisees and Sadducees? Because he spoke as one having authority. And that was jeopardizing the authority that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were asserting over the Jewish people by their traditions and their doctrines of men, right? And Jesus, he was exposing this amongst the Jewish common folks. Look, he gathered the multitudes together and exposed them. And this bothered the leaders of the day, and so here they are tempting Jesus. They're tempting him. Why? They want to destroy him, folks. They want to destroy him. And as they're tempting Jesus Christ, in essence, they are tempting him to destroy them. That's in essence what they're doing. Go if you would, 1 Corinthians. 1 First Corinthians 10:9. Here they're tempting Christ, right? They tempted him before, folks. Bible says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." And so in the Old Testament, the Jews were in the wilderness, and after God told them that he would supply all their needs, and what did the Jews do? They murmured. They complained. They condemned God. They condemned him. They tempted God to kill him, and he did. That's what he did. Killed him with serpents, fiery serpents. Imagine that. Imagine little devils crawling around biting you, right? But that's what happened. These little serpents went around killing them. And so, how did they condemn God? How did they condemn God? They basically said to God, "You can't keep your promises." That's what they murmured and complained about. That's how they condemned him. "You can't keep your promises, God." And so they tempted him, and he did. And so here are the Jewish leaders who should know the scriptures and what happened in the past to their Jewish people. And what are they doing? They're asking for a sign. And they're tempting Jesus Christ by asking for this sign. Jesus has shown them all these signs, folks. He's performing miracles on the earth. They're seeing it. They're hearing about them. Not only that, there's other signs that have come about, but we'll go through them a little later. And so these guys they're asking for these signs. They're tempting Jesus because he's already shown them signs. He's already shown them to them. And so these guys are pushing God. And if a person pushes God and pushes God and pushes God, one day God is going to lower the boom on you. That's just how he works. He lets you go, he lets you go, he lets you go, and then bam, done. Proverbs 29:29. We all know this verse. Hope I wrote the right one down. Not 29:29. Okay. 29:1. There's not a 29:29. I'm glad I said that. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And so these folks and these religious leaders, they're tempting God to destroy them. They're tempting God to destroy them. They ask for a sign from heaven. What kind of sign could you get from heaven? What kind of sign in the past have they gotten from heaven? They've gotten rain. What else have they gotten? They've gotten fire. Now imagine if God gave these people what they wanted and gave them a sign from heaven and said, "Okay, fire, come on down out and burn them all up." 2 Kings 1:10. 2 Kings. Elijah did this. More than once. "And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, 'If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven.'" They're wanting Jesus to show them a sign. Show us that you're the man of God. And look, if God would answer and send fire and burn them up, they wouldn't be asking again, right? Then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Back to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 1. The Pharisees also which with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. So, folks, I mean, what the Jews are saying to Jesus here is that they're saying that they're not convinced with what he's shown them so far. They want more, okay? And the problem with these Jews are, is that no matter what no matter what Jesus shows them, they have already rejected him. They've already rejected him. They've rejected John the Baptist's ministry, right? His ministry was totally different than Jesus' ministry, although the message was the same. John didn't have any signs. He didn't have any signs. The only sign was John himself, prophesied of the in the Old Testament. That was the only sign. But John never performed any. Okay? And they rejected his message. Jesus shows up with signs and wonders, and they reject his message. So these bunch of people, these Jewish leaders, they're not going to receive righteousness under any circumstance, folks. And Jesus isn't about to show them anything more. And now they are tempting him to cut them off completely. But because God is merciful, because of what God said in the Old Testament, and he's merciful, folks, he doesn't cut them off completely and destroy them with the fire. Okay? So he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the sign of the times. So what Jesus has just done here is he has exposed what they think. He's exposing what these people think about. And what these people think about, these leaders, is they think about things that really don't mean anything, folks. They don't mean anything. Okay? So what if it's windy tomorrow? Right? So what if it's going to be nice tomorrow? Who cares? They think about the next day. That's all they're thinking about. They're thinking about earthly things. They're only concerned with the things that are temporary. All right? What's right in front of their face. Do you want to know when you'll be able to reach somebody with the gospel? You'll be able to reach somebody with the gospel when they finally realize that this life is vain. It doesn't matter if it's going to be windy tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it's going to be nice tomorrow. It's vanity. And Ecclesiastes goes into that. All is vanity. Everything on this earth underneath the sun is vain. And you'll finally be able to reach somebody with the gospel when they realize that everything underneath the sun, it's useless. It's useless. And when a person finally realizes that, then you can give them something of value, folks. You can give them the gospel. You can give them Jesus, and then the things in this life will start to mean something, right? Well, without Jesus Christ, all is lost. There's a movie out there, All is Lost. I think the guy said three words in the whole movie. And they were bad words. It's all he could come up with. But all is lost without Jesus Christ. And you want some meaning in your life? Receive the gospel. And that's when a person will receive the gospel. When he realizes all is meaningless. All is lost. And this life won't be useless anymore when you have Jesus Christ. But these guys here, they're more interested in discerning temporal things. Temporal things for the next day. Instead of discerning the signs of the times, folks. The signs of the times. They didn't know that they were living in a time where Jesus was his first coming. They didn't know this. Yet, the scriptures pointed to this. Go with me, if you would, to Job 24. Job 24. Verse 1. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Okay. Listen, folks. Discerning the times, the signs of the time, is not being able to forecast the future. All right? But it's being able to recognize the time in which you're living. All right? That's what it's like. Jesus is telling the Jewish leaders here that you're missing it. It's going right over your eyes. You can't discern what's right in front of your eyes, what's right in front of your ears. You have no understanding. You can't get it. You're missing it. Go back, if you would, to Matthew. Jesus is telling them there. This is what you guys are concerned about. This is what you've missed. You've missed the prophecies in Isaiah. Go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 7:14. This is what they missed. Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That was a sign, folks. The Bible says it was a sign. And they missed it. What else did they miss? They missed the prophecy in Deuteronomy 18. If you would, go there. Deuteronomy 18. Verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. It's Moses speaking. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. That's the Lord speaking. He's going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses. What did Moses do? He brought forth signs to Israel, did he not? To show them that God had sent him. And what did Jesus bring forth in his ministry? He brought forth signs. And they rejected them. They wanted more. They wanted more. We don't believe the signs that you've given us. We want you to give us another one. Right? And so they missed it. They missed the sign that the Lord was going to bring up somebody like Moses. He showed right up. He was right there on the earth. And they missed it. What else did they miss? Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 40, verse 3. They miss John the Baptist, folks. He's the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What did John say? They missed this. They missed it. And so these are the signs of the times, right? Jesus is on the earth. Moses, he was born of a virgin. That's Jesus. John the Baptist shows up right in this time frame. Some 33 years within that time frame, all this stuff happened. And these guys were more concerned with the weather than they were the scriptures. They weren't searching the scriptures. They were seeking after a sign instead of seeking the scriptures. If they would have been searching the scriptures out, they wouldn't have missed Daniel's 70th week and Daniel 9:24. They wouldn't have missed that. They wouldn't have missed his birth. Matthew 7:7. If ye seek, ye shall find. Right? What's the Lord wanting them to seek? The scriptures, not the signs. If you sought the scriptures, you'd understand the signs of the times that you were living in. By what was happening. And so, if they'd been searching those scriptures, they would have known the prophet was indeed the prophet as prophesied about in Deuteronomy 18. It was right there in front of their face. But they weren't. They weren't searching the scriptures. Verse 4, Matthew. Matthew 16, verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So, why does Jesus tell this bunch of people that they're wicked and adulterous? He just read their thoughts and their heart, that they're worried about temporal things, earthly things, right? And so, let's see what the scripture says and why he calls these people wicked and adulterous by seeking after a sign. They're looking for a sign from heaven, something temporal. Go with me, if you would, to James 4. James 4. I got a head start on you. Here's the Bible saying this. It says, James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Hey, that's the problem with this crowd. They're worldly, folks. They're worldly. And the Bible calls being worldly it's adulterous. It's a wicked and adulterous generation. He's saying that to these leaders. They're worldly. And these bunch of Jews, they're giving themselves over to the world instead of giving themselves over to God. If they would have been giving themselves over to God, they would have been searching the scriptures. Right? And then they would have understood and they would have known what time, signs of the times they were living in. They were living in Jesus' first coming. And so see how that all intertwines together? No searching the scriptures? You're in the world. Searching the scriptures? You're not in the world. You'll understand. And so from here on, except for one other time, Matthew 20:30, Jesus does very few, if any, signs before the rulers. And I don't even think he does the sign when he heals the blind man in Matthew 20:30. I don't believe the rulers are there at the time. I couldn't find any reference to that. But, and if you want to know why, you'll find out in Matthew 13. We went through it before. Why does Jesus call these guys hypocrites? He says right here. Go back to, if you would, to Matthew 16. What does he say? Verse 3 says, "O ye hypocrites." Why does he call them hypocrites? Because they can discern physical things, but they cannot discern anything spiritual. And that's why he says they're hypocrites. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread." Go with me, if you would, to Mark 8. We'll see a little bit more of this account. Mark 8:10. The Bible says, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. Is that the right one? Yeah, I think so. "And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them and entered into the ship, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one bread." So apparently there was one loaf of bread in there, because it doesn't say there's any more. They didn't take any with. So there was one loaf of bread on the ship when they got on the ship. That's what it looks like. "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread." Back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." What is the leaven of the Pharisees here? And we're going to find that out as we go down. It's their doctrine and their teaching. That's what Jesus is talking about in this particular portion of the scriptures, their doctrine. Okay, because he doesn't rebuke the disciples when they figure it out. Okay, and so it's their doctrine. And here is yet another instance of Jesus teaching something spiritual, and the disciples looking at the physical. What were the Pharisees and Sadducees just doing? All right, why would this make you think that you didn't take any bread by what Jesus said? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why would you think that? And do you know what the disciples' problem is? They're reasoning with the wrong people. Verse 6, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. It is because we have taken no bread." Okay? And so they're reasoning with the wrong people, folks. What does the Bible say? In Isaiah 1:18, says, Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God doesn't want us reasoning with ourselves. God doesn't want us reasoning with other people. He wants us reasoning with Him over Scripture. Many times, folks, people won't hear what you say, especially up on a pulpit, whether it's a teacher or a preacher. There's a lot of times we'll talk, and people will hear something that we never even said. Or maybe we did say it and we don't hear what we say. Right? But people don't usually, I mean, a lot of times they don't hear what they say. What you say, they hear what they feel. And that's the problem. our feelings getting in the way of what the Scriptures say. We all have that problem, folks. There's not any of us perfect. Not even the preachers, not the teachers, not the evangelists. Nobody's perfect. And there's going to be times where we hear the wrong thing. We hear something that just simply wasn't said. And why? Because it was negative against us, and we feel bad. We feel bad. And we can never remember what the person actually said that made us feel that way. But we just know we felt bad. The problem is we're reasoning with ourselves there. Why aren't we asking the Lord, hey, what did this guy mean when he said this? And the Lord will probably give you the answer. He didn't say that. He said this. Look again. Right? And so we need to reason with the Lord on issues. We need to reason with the Lord on our sin problems in our life. And then maybe you won't be feeling bad. You'll be seeing, hey, I'm doing wrong. Right? The disciples, they have the same problem that the Pharisees and the Sadducees have. They don't think on the same level that Jesus is thinking on. They take things literal that are spiritual. Jesus is talking on a spiritual realm here. The disciples are taking it in a physical realm. What are the Pharisees and Sadducees doing? They're looking at the physical realm. Jesus Christ is showing them a spiritual realm, and they're missing it. They're missing it. And so, man, you have the devil, you have the world, go contrary to the Bible. And we need to stay right with God by confessing carnal sins that we have in our life. The carnal sins of man, we need to confess that to God so we can stay on a spiritual realm with Him. Especially when He's talking spiritual things and not physical things. Verse 7-8. Do ye not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Again, folks, how soon we forget the goodness of God. We all forget the goodness of God. And that's why God wrote things down on stone and wood. Right? And He preserved it. Because when we forget, we can open up a couple pages of the wood or rice or whatever you got and go look it up and see that God said this, He promised me this, I believe this, I'm not going to be shaken by this. And that's why He did that. And look at what He says to the, He says, oh ye of little faith, to the disciples. How many baskets ye took up, verse 10, neither the seven loaves or the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Okay? So, he's rebuking the disciples, and then he goes in and he tells them what he's done in the past. What does he do with us? When we forget the goodness of God, we get rebuked, and then the Scripture, whether it's from a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist, if we're listening to the Word of God, we get rebuked for forgetting, and He goes in and explains it to us again. And that's exactly what He does to the disciples here. Verse 12, then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Here they do. They get it. They get it. Jesus didn't have to tell them this. They got it on their own there. Now, I don't know if they got it on their own. I'm sorry. Let me retract that. They understood that this Jesus can supply all their needs. That's what they understood, because they knew that he wasn't talking about the physical anymore. And Jesus had to go in and show them that, hey, that one loaf of bread on your boat, look how many people I could probably feed with that one loaf based on all the loaves that you had over here with the 4,000 and the 5,000, right? They got one loaf there. Jesus could multiply that to feed 3,000 if he wanted to, or more than that. But they understood that Jesus could supply their need at that point. Where do these guys get this understanding from? The Bible doesn't really go into much detail about how they got this understanding. But there's another time when Jesus is on the road to Emmaus that he opens up their understanding with two of the disciples to his words of the scriptures, that they would understand them. That's found in Luke 24. Luke 24. We all know that story. Luke 24. Verse 45. We'll start off in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Okay? So, Jesus opens up people's understanding. But look at what he had to tell them. He showed them some of the scriptures. And then Jesus opens it up. When you believe what Jesus says here, he gives you a little more here. And that's what we need to keep on track. Once a person is on the right track and is believing Jesus' words, especially with these disciples, they knew that he wasn't talking the literal anymore, because they remembered the things that he did, the goodness of God, how he fed all these people. So they knew he wasn't talking about the literal. Once you're on the right track, then the Lord gives you a little bit more. And I believe Jesus opens up these disciples' understanding so that they would understand that he wasn't talking about the physical, but the spiritual. And so we'll go ahead and stop there. What a great God we have. We wouldn't know anything if it wasn't for the Lord opening up our understanding to his words. We can't get them on our own, folks. And I don't believe the disciples got them on their own either. And the Pharisees, they didn't get them because they didn't believe God's words. All right? We'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you again for your words, and what a great gift that you gave us. And we need to be mindful of your words, Lord, and thank you for preserving them, writing them down so we can see them, and we can remember the goodness of God by going back and seeing what you said and what you did. And we pray and we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray for the services today. And we thank you again for the people that died, not only for this country, but for the faith, Lord. And we thank you again. For Christ's sake, amen.